Okay, so welcome everybody back to our Parsha class learning. So it's Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro is, of course, the Parsha of Matan Torah, the greatest revelation in the history of our people and in the history of mankind. The whole purpose of leaving Yetzias Mitzrayim was to come to Matan Torah. Hashem says to Moshe at the burning bush, Paragimel Pasuk Gibbez, when Moshe says, what is the sign that you have sent me? So God said, you will worship me on this mountain. That is a reference to Matan Torah. We left Egypt. That was physical freedom. Physical freedom is an incomplete freedom. It's an incomplete chayrus if we do not have spiritual freedom that comes along with living a life of Torah. And therefore, Bo and Bishalach are the parashios of physical freedom. Ba'yisro and Mishpatim are the parashios of spiritual freedom. 24/7. Vayikach es sefer bris. Vayikra ba'aznei am. Vayomer kol asher dibar Hashem. Nasa v'nishma. It's actually next week's parasha, the famous Nasa v'nishma. It is not in this week's parasha, but that is spiritual freedom, as Chazal tells. In Pirkei Avos, charus ala luchos, engraved on the luchos. Al tukri charus ala cherus. Perigvav of Pirkei Avos. Don't read it engraved on the luchos. Read it freedom. Don't read it charus, engraved or etched. Read it cherus. Freedom. There's no such thing as freedom. A person might think they're free. They could have all the riches in the world and live in the fanciest house and have the best designer clothing and eat in the finest restaurants and live a life of vacation and fun. But if their life is devoid of Torah, they are actually enslaved to the drives of the Yetzer Hara. The only freedom is that freedom which comes with Torah. However, I actually want to focus on, at least to begin here, one of my most favorite words in Parshas Yisro. So Parshas Yisro is three prakim long. Perek Yurchas, the namesake of the story of the namesake of the Parsha. Perek Yutes, which is the preparation for Matan Torah. Perek Chav, which is the giving of the Torah, the Aseres Hadibros, and the great revelation at Sinai. It's not such a long Parsha. Perek Yurchas begins the story of Yisro. Yisro is the father-in-law of Moshe. Yisro hears everything. Bishus, my mother-in-law, even though I already mentioned her and thanked her for being the first person in this shir. 1 year ago, I know it was out of chesed, but I greatly appreciate it. I said, please come, we're starting this class in Flavish. I don't want to be the only person in the room. And she came to make me feel good, and I appreciate it very much. So, what happened? She's still here a year later. She'll be a schuss for Arichus Yamim and Shalim. So in Perek Yurchas, Yisro shows up and he hears that everything that God has done for the people, and he's so happy, and they have a whole welcome meal and they have a whole su'uda. And so there's really two stories in Perek Yurchas. This first story is Yisro coming and Moshe going out to greet him. Everyone saw Moshe going out, so everybody else goes out and they have a su'uda, and Yisro gives thanks to God over the miracles that he does in saving the Bnei Yisrael. Perek Yurchas, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayihimi Macharas, it was the next day. Vayashev, Vayeshev Moshe, Lishbot Es Ha'am. Moshe sits down to judge the people. Vayamod Ha'am Moshe, Min HaBoker Ad Ha'erev. The people stand on Moshe from morning till evening. Vayar Chosein Moshe, Es Kol Asher Hu Osa La'am. And the father-in-law of Moshe, the namesake of the Parsha, sees everything that Moshe is doing for the people. Vayomer, and he says, Mahadavar Hazeh Asher Ata Oseh. I'm in Perek Yurchas Pasuk Yud Dalet. What is this matter that you are doing, La'am, for the people? Madua ata yoshev levadecha. Why are you sitting alone? V'chol ha'am nitzav alacha. And the whole nation is standing upon you. Min boker ad erev, from the morning till evening. So Moshe is sitting and he is judging the people or mitigating in disputes, and they have quarrels and they come to him, and who do you paskin like and who wins, etc., etc. Vayomer Moshe lechos. Now Moshe says to his father, now ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh Elokim, the people, the nation comes to me and they want to seek out what's the word of God. So I tell them, ki yelem davar ba elai, when they have a matter, they don't know the halacha, they need something, so they come to me. V'shafatati bein ish uvein re'ehu, I judge between a man and his fellow. V'hodati es chukei Elokim asher Torah sav, I let them know the law of God and I let them know his Torah. You might be asking, doesn't this seem a little bit out of order? Because why? This is Perek Yurchas, so they don't get the Torah yet till Perek Chav. So it seems to be a little bit strange. What are all the cases that he's deciding and judging between, and he says, I let them know the law of God and his Torah, what Torah. So Chazal do tell us, Vayihi mimacharas Vayeshe Moshe lishpat esam. It was the next day, it was on the morrow Moses sat to judge the people. So Rashi says, mimacharas Motze Yom HaKippurim Haya. It was the day after Yom Kippur. And Rashi often tells us, Ein Mukdam Umucha B'Torah. This is at a place, that's at a place we just had in Parshas B'Shalach, when Hashem tells Moshe, who tells Aaron to put away a portion of the man, the tzinsenes man, we spoke about it last week. Someone reached out to me with a question. They emailed me. Who was it? I emailed them back. I replied. Okay, so take a tzinsenes man. So Rashi notes there was no ohel moed yet. The man fell in Iyar, the month after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what do you mean? Put the tzinsenes man into the ohel moed as a saving for a generation. There was nowhere to put it. So Rashi says this didn't happen yet. This happens after. Once you have the Mishkan, once you have the ohel moed, you have somewhere to put the tzinsenes, the earthenware jug of man. That happens later. But since the Torah is writing here about the man, it includes this passage of saving a portion of man for Doros for the time of Yirmiyahu. So too here, since we could say this is Yisro's advice, and it's already telling me the story of Yisro, even though this really happened the day after Yom Kippurim, we are not even at Sivan yet. We haven't even received the Torah. What do you mean Moshe is sitting to judge the people? But Yom Kippur is Yod Tishrei. This is coming up to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But since you're telling me the story of Yisro coming to the people, anyway, so Yisro is going to give Moshe advice. So what's Moshe judging? The people have questions. They have disputes. It's the day after Yom Kippur. The call has just gone out, Motze Yom Kippurim, to begin to build the Mishkan. We will be there in 2 weeks' time. The people are Motze Yom Kippurim, and God says, Salachti kivarach, I forgive you like you were. Now they start to build a Mishkan. So there's a lot of disputes. He wants to bring, I don't know, 10 pounds of Oros Tachashim, and I want to bring 8 pounds of Oros Tachashim Adamim. Who's right? So there are disputes. It's the day after Yom Kippur. It's a few months post Matan Torah. There is what to judge. So what does this all have to do with Yisro? What does it have to do with Yisro? Vayomer Chosein Moshe Elav, the father-in-law of Moshe, says to him, Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. Listen. I have advice for you. I am a Kohen Midjan. I've been a priest. I'm well established. I have a lot of experience dealing with people back in the day in Midjan when I was recognized as the priest. And yes, he converted. But at that time, I dealt a lot with people. And I also, I judge this. Thank you. Mitigated disputes. And I'm going to tell you, Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. This is not good. What's not good? Navalti bol gam ata gam ha'amazeh. You are going to become confused. You are going to become overwhelmed. How does art school translate? Navalti bol. You will surely become weary. Ah, unklus. Mil'a til'e. Af'at af'amahadein. Mil'a til'e. Notice, what's the root word there? Mil'a. So that's actually not it, even though it sounds like that. Mil'a til'e. What's the same three letters, the consonant in those two words? What? Lamed Aleph. I know you don't have it in front of you, but if you would look at Unkus right now, Mila Mem Lamed Aleph Tila Tov Lamed Aleph. What does Leia mean? Actually, Leia means what? Tired. Very, very nice. Most people don't know that. Beautiful. You're what? She's what? Oh, very nice, beautiful. Most people are not aware of that. It's a whole beautiful shiur into the names of the imahos, Rachel and Leah. Rachel means, Rachelaya means? Who said that? What did you say? Rachel means?
It's a sheep, right?
Sheep, that's right. Rachel means sheep, you, lamb, and Leah actually means tired. The Nilu Mitzrayim Lishtos Mayim Min Hayar, by the Mount of Dam and Parak Zion, the Egyptians become weary because they don't have water to drink from the Nile. It actually means tired. So it's helpful to look at Targum Unkos very, very often in our translation, I should say interpretation of the Torah. So what does it mean, Naval Tibal, if we're not familiar with those words in Lashon HaKodesh? Mil'a til'a, af'at af'amahadein. You and the people will surely become, you will become tired, and the people will become tired. Why will you become tired? Ki kaved mimcha hadavar, because this matter is too heavy for you. Kaved means to give honor, and kaved also means when something is heavy. Lo tuchal asahu levadecha. How many people are in Knesset? It's all about 2.5 million. There are 600,000 men. I say this often. That means between the ages of 20 to 60. You have all the females. You have all the seniors over the age 60. You have all the youth under the age 20. And you have the whole Sheva Levi who's included in their own count. So when we say 600,000 strong left Egypt, that is not an accurate picture of how many people there actually were in the Israelite nation at this time. There were about 2.5 million people, not 600,000. So Moshe is sitting all day judging disputes. He just came down from 120 days in Shemayim. If it's Motzei Yom HaKippurim, there were three sets of 40 days. The first set when he got the Torah, the second set davening for the people after Chei Ve'ega, the third set for Mosh Chodesh Elo to Yom Kippur, God says, Salachti Kivarecha, he comes out with the second Luchos. Now they start to build the Mishkan, and there's 2.5 million people standing. Okay, let's say not everyone has questions. What?
How do we know there's 2.5 million?
I'm saying approximately.
I'm saying, like, how do we know there's a ton of people?
How do we know there's that many people? Well, if there's only 600,000 men between the ages of 20 to 60, and then you take the count of Levi and all the seniors and all the youth and all the females, you're talking about a couple million people.
The six at a time or something?
Say it again, please.
The women that gave birth to six at a time, is that how it
works? Shisha v'keres achad, that's in Mitzrayim. Are they still giving birth to six at a time now? I'm not sure. Okay? I don't know. Let's go. So the point is that there are so many people, there's so much going on, and he is sitting and judging everybody. So Yisro says, Ki kaved mimcha hadavar, kaved mimcha hadavar. This matter is too heavy for you. You're one person. Lo tuchal asol levadecha. There's no way you could do this all by yourself. Atashma bekoli i'atzcha. Listen to my voice. I will give you a piece of advice. Vihi Elokim imach. God will be with you. You should be for the people. Opposite God, they'll bring you their queries. But what does Yisro say you should do? You should appoint Anshei Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshei MS, strong men, God-fearing men, men of truth, who hate bribery, who hate money, and you should make lower courts. So you will be the Supreme Court Justice, but you should have lower courts, the small claims court. Somebody needs to deal with the small claims. You can't possibly judge everything by yourself, and if it's too heavy for them, they will come to you. And then, v'yacholta amod, you will be able to stand up. Moshe listens to the voice of his father-in-law, and he did what he commanded, and he picks Anshei Chayil, and he makes them as lower judges. So Yisro comes with a good piece of advice. I'm going to focus on a avart that I received. My mother forwarded it to me many years ago from, you know, the shuls. I'll send out their email list before Shabbos. It was in the shul email in Toronto. I don't remember b'shem who it was quoted even, but it was such an impactful word that since I read it every year when we get up to Parshas Yisro, it really strikes me as very, very meaningful. Before I'm going to give you the vart, I'm going to tell you a story. I was just listening to Shir on my way over here, Rav Shai Schechter, and he quoted a story that Rabbi Weinberger, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger from Eish Kodesh, just lost his father, Zichron Levracha. His father was a Holocaust survivor. There's a beautiful, it's on WhatsApp, somebody put out, it's like a minute and a half video. He managed to save his tefillin during the war. When they asked him, how did you save your tefillin in the different camps, he says it was nisim, and they put them on every day. I guess he and the men around him put on the tefillin every day. He managed to save his tefillin. He hid them during the war where he was. He was just nifter yesterday. Monday, he was nifter. So Rav Shai Schechter, anyway, told over a story that Rav Moshe Weinberger told over. And he said that the story reminded him of his parents. I don't know where the story was brought down, but Rabbi Weinberger, who is a more than reliable source, told this story over that he had read it. So it was during the Holocaust, and this couple, it was before the war, and this couple became engaged to be married, and before they could even get married, the war broke out. I believe they were from Poland. I just listened to the shiur in the car. I'll get to the point while I'm telling it to you. They were from Poland, and before they could be married, the war broke out, and they were both deported. And as Providence would have it, they both ended up in the same camp. He on the men's side in the men's barracks, and she on the women's side, the women's barracks. They were in the same camp. And from time to time, they would see each other across the fence, or we should never know, I don't know, Baruch Hashem, we don't know. through the barbed wire. And from time to time, they saw each other. They would always be mechazik each other, even if it was with smile or one word. You're going to survive. We'll be okay. We're going to get out of here. They would be mechazik each other. And miraculously, they both survived. And after the war, they both survived. I'm not sure if they were in a DP camp, wherever they were. And they finally came to a mirror. A mirror, for the first time in years, they were seeing themselves, not the other one. First time in years, they saw themselves. We look in a mirror before we leave the house. You want to make sure you look like a mensch. Is everything put together? Okay, you eat something with spinach, are my teeth clean? How's the makeup? Brush the shaitel, it was windy. Everything's the right length and the right matching and this, that. You look in the mirror all the time. Even the cars have mirrors, God forbid you should get out of the car and not look at yourself. I'm not making fun of you, I use that mirror also. Okay? So for the first time in years, they saw each other. They each one saw the other. He saw her, she saw him. But they never saw themselves. So they look in the mirror for the first time. Something we can't imagine. I could tell you a story I can't imagine. She looks at herself. She says, I look like I literally came out of Gehenna. You want to marry me? Remember, they were engaged before the war. There's nothing attractive in me. I have no hair. I'm emaciated. My skin is awful. I look more dead than alive. And he looks in the mirror and he says, look at me. I have no flesh. I have bags under my eyes. These are young people. I look like an old man. I look like I'm 100. I'm 25. You want to marry me? And this goes back and forth until finally he looks at her and he says, you've never looked more beautiful as you look right now. Shai Shechus, Rabbi Weinberger, told the story over. And they went on. What does it have to do with this story of Yisroel and the word I want to bring out to you? There's only two times in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that the phrase Lo Tov is used. This is the email that my mother sent me years ago from her shul email list. I don't remember who said the word. It's not my own. There's only two times in the Torah that the phrase Lo Tov is used. One time is in our parsha. Vayarcho Sein Moshe is kol asher hu osel am. The father-in-law of Moshe sees everything that he's doing for the people, and he says, Maha davar asher ata osa. What are you doing? Madua ata yoshev levadecha. Important. Why are you sitting levadecha on your own? V'chol ha'am nitzav alecha. And the whole nation stands upon you from morning till evening. Moshe says, listen, they have questions. We just got the Torah. We're building the Mishkan. There's a lot of shayvas here. And Moshe's father-in-law says, lo tov, there it is. Not good. Hadavar asher ata oseh. Navol tibol gam ata gam ha'amazab. Mila tila af at af amadin. You're going to be very tired. You're going to become so weary. You're going to become so worn out. Why? The matter is too heavy. Lo tuchal asol levadacha. Yisro says, what are you doing? You're all by yourself. You're judging the people. You're going to become exhausted and weary and tired. Mil atil. They're going to become exhausted and weary and tired. Why? Lo tuchal asol levadacha. It's not good to be alone. Now that's your answer. So some of you are already nodding and acknowledging that you're aware of the other place that it says Lo Tov in the Torah. The only other time it says Lo Tov in the Torah is back in Maase Bereishis. And Perek Beis, Perek Aleph is Maase Bereishis, Elohim creates the whole world, and then he creates man, whatever, 127, he creates this man, woman, being that doesn't last. We move to Perek Beis, we're told about Shabbos, and then these four rivers. And then Adam realizes that Adam is created in 2:7, and Vayitzra Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam, Adam is created solitary, Afar Min HaAdama, dust from the ground, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, Vayi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. So Adam is created, but he's created by himself. And he sees that all the animals have a mate. Rashi says, he sees all the animals have a partner. There's male, female cheetah, male, female elephant, male, female iguana. I'm by myself. So Hashem famously declares, Hashem says, Mikol Eitzagan Ochal Tochal, Pri Eitzadas, Hashem Betochagan Lo Tochum Menu, Yamachachum Menu, Most Tumas. The day you eat from that tree, you will the fruit from the tree, you will surely die. And then Hashem says, Lo tov heyos adam levado, eser lo ezer kenegdo. It's not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper opposite. I saw a beautiful var. Why does Hashem say immediately after the first command? First Hashem says, don't eat the fruit from the tree. Then God says, oh, man needs a helper. Because once he is mitzuveh, he needs someone to be mechazek him. He needs someone to help him to choose well, to do the right thing. It's not good. Don't eat from this fruit. Now he needs someone to help him in his life because he has a command. He needs someone to bring him up in life. Okay, it didn't go over so well, but that's a whole other story. But he needs someone to help him in life. But isn't that interesting? Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. Because it's not good for man to be alone, ezer lo ezer kinegdo. Zocher, ezer lo zocher kinegdo, but pshat. I will make him a helper opposite him. Lo tov levad. And then you move to Perek Yudches of Shemos. And what does Yisro say? Lo tov, lo tuchal, I'm skipping a little, but lo tov hadavar shara toseh, lo tuchal osohu levadecha. The only two times in Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's a lot of psukim there, that you have the phrase lo tov is in juxtaposition to levad. Right. So that means there's only one thing in the Torah that's not good. Okay, the violation of Dina, we can work it out. There's a solution. It's not positive. It wasn't going to happen to her, but we can work it out. Esav's coming to kill you. We could do something about it. You prepare for war. You send matanos. You daven to Hashem. Those aren't good situations. You don't want them. But there's a solution. When man is not alone, things can be done to work out the difficulties in life. In fact, Das Kemi Bali Tosfos has a very beautiful pshat. When Yaakov moves his family, talking about preparing for battle with Esav, when Yaakov moves his family to the other side of the river Yabok, okay, Vayuvatar Yaakov Levado, but it doesn't say Lo Tov, but it does say Levad, Vayuvatar Yaakov Levado, Vayaavek Ish Imo Ad Alos HaShachar. Yaakov is left all alone. He moves his family, he goes back for some small vessels, and he is left alone, and a man, the Sarshal Esav, wrestles with him till the morning dawn. And the Das Kini Bali Tosfos says, look what happens when a Jew is left alone. Why was he susceptible to attack? Why was the Sarshal Esav able to fight with him till the morning dawn? Why was he locked in mortal combat for his life from the existence of Knesset Yisrael? Vayivater Yaakov Levado. Because a Jew is left alone, says the Das Kini Bali Tosfos, you should never leave a Jew alone. The only two times it says lo tov is in regard to the state of levad. So it's very interesting. What is the difference between Adam's levad, lo tov, and Moshe's levad, lo tov? So by Adam and Moshe, they're both levad, but in a very different sense. Adam is literally levad. The worst punishment that they put upon people is what's called solitary confinement. The worst punishment that a person can experience, no one should ever know, solitary confinement. Person is literally alone. Adam was literally alone. And God said it is not good. Man cannot literally be alone. Moshe was totally not alone. Was it 2.5 million people? Was it 2 million people? Oh, it was a couple of million people. There's a lot of people. And they're all standing on him from morning to evening. So he's not alone. So what on earth is Yisro saying? This is what we could call the condition of loneliness. You could be in a room surrounded by people. Surrounded by people. And you can feel lonely. No one understands me. No one's going through what I'm going through. I have nobody to talk to. No one's empathetic. She always winds up me when I try and tell her my sorrow. She tells me, would you believe? You wouldn't know what happened to me. And you feel lonely because the burden is too great for you to carry, even though you're surrounded by people. The only two conditions is that a person alone or lonely, that's lo tov. Therefore, al kein ya'azov ish esaviv esimo, v'davak b'ishto, v'hayu lebasar echad. When two become one, then man is not alone. to become one. It's a very, very impactful, powerful verse. So why did I share that story from Rabbi Moshe Weinberger? Because those were two people. No one should ever know. Every survivor was literally, in terms of their family, alone. It was very, very rare that groups or people from the same family survived. Generally, you had one survivor. My grandparents, for example, they had a cousin who survived, but in terms of immediate family, but what did he, that survivor who looked in the mirror at himself, in himself he saw an emaciated individual who couldn't possibly go on, but in his kala, he was able to say, you're the most beautiful I've ever seen you right now. Ya'azov isha saviva esimo v'davak be'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. That basar echad, when two become one, is the Torah's answer to the problem, the lo tov, the detrimental effects of man being alone. It's why support groups are started for people facing similar scenarios. It's why we go out of our way to help others who feel alone. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam in his wisdom and his infinite Ein Sof wisdom understands that every problem in life can be dealt with as long as a person has someone else. No se ba'al im chaveiro. It's one of the midos and milos by which Torah is acquired. If you are carrying the burden with your friend, not just for a show, but really empathetic, listening to them with kindness, then you can tell that person you're not alone. And when a person is not alone, and when a person is not lonely, when you're the most beautiful you've ever been in the whole world, and I want to be with you, despite how externally you look, that person has such an aliyah. So I just finished recently, I've quoted so many shiurim and classes, the book, The Rabbi and the Nuns. I told you, Noah, you can't get it. You read it? It's amazing. So I've quoted it, I've recommended it in so many venues. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy. Good. Wow, it's amazing. Was amazing. The Rabbi Nuns, I recommend, I see some people did read it, Baruch Hashem. I've really been quoting from it in many, many different classes, many different stories. The Rabbi and the Nuns, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. He was for 20 years the director of the St. Francis Hospital in Pittsburgh, which was run by the nuns of St. Francis. It's his experience and lessons over 20 years in treating nuns and priests and sisters and I don't know, whatever else they're called. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm serious. It's very, very interesting. It's really, as the women here could tell you, they're fighting over it in a positive way because everybody wants to read it. It's amazing. So, The Rabbi and the Nuns. So he tells a story in there. There was a certain priest who was, this is Mamash how he tells the story. This certain priest was seeing a 90-year-old doctor who lost his ability to practice medicine but had not yet lost his medical license. And he was experiencing, that's what he writes, and this man, you might remember the story, was experiencing stomach distension and problems and etc. But the doctor was treating him with vitamins. Then the doctor died, and so he came to the St. Francis Hospital for evaluation, and Rabbi Dr. Twersky said at that time he was still an intern. He hadn't yet majored in psychiatry. He was still in his internship. So they take him into surgery of nothing more than the fact that scans, he had x-rays or, I don't know, CAT scan, revealed a very large mass in the stomach, on the posterior wall, behind the kidneys. It was going to be very extensive surgery. And they needed to do surgery because it was more explorative surgery. They needed to at least get a piece of the tissue from the mass for microscopic testing to give a diagnosis. They didn't exactly know what it was, but it looked like it was clearly a malignant, very large tumor mass inside. So they go into surgery, and the surgeon cuts a piece of the mass. I'm sorry, it sounds gross, TMI, but some pus oozes out. Okay. And then they realize this is not a mass like they thought. They start to drain. They drained over, I forget how many liters of pus, and the whole thing collapsed. It was an infection in his stomach. It was not cancer. It was not a malignant growth. It could be treated with antibiotics. Wonderful. take him out, he goes to recovery, he's on antibiotics, and they're very disappointed to discover that the priest is not recuperating. There is no reason that he should not be recuperating because it was just an infection. It's very, very treatable with antibiotics. And then Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes that he realized that over the past couple of weeks, the priest, this is Mamish in the book, you could go read it. I'm not making up to fit into the shiur, go read it. It's true. The priest never had one visitor. So he called, Rabbi Dr. Twersky called the head of the parish. Again, I'm not exactly sure how it works. The priest or a cardinal, bishop, I think, in charge of the parish, says, we have this priest here, this is his name. He's recuperating from a non-emergency, non-life-threatening situation, but he's not getting better. He writes, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't engage in post-op therapy, he was not responding well to the antibiotics. So the bishop says, no, he never had his own parish. After World War II, he came, but he went from church to church, sort of like substitute priest, wherever he was needed. He never had his own parish. So his absence is not noted from any one church. People don't realize that he is in the hospital because they don't miss him. He was never in one place. And the bishop said, I'm going to arrange for visitors to come. And from the next day, visitors started coming. Rabbi Twersky writes, Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes, they brought candy, they brought flowers, they brought a game. Within 2 weeks, he was discharged from the hospital, totally fine. Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes, I had not yet specialized in psychiatry, but so early in my medicine career, I learned that a human being is much more than a mass of protoplasm and cells. A human being has a soul. And that soul needs to be nurtured. We don't only need to take care of ourselves and each other. It's not enough to prepare food for the people in your home and to clothe the people in your home and to, I don't know, drive people to appointments that they need to go to. That's not enough. It's not enough of a nurturing to feed the innate desire of a human being to not be alone. Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who declares that there is one thing that's not good. And that one thing that's not good is when man is alone. And it's a strong Mr. Haskell for us, obviously on the very basic level in terms of if a person is able to engage in shidduchim, if a person is able to, if you can help people, if you can try, that's on the one hand. Ribbono Shel Olam declares the first thing that's not good. But there are so many opportunities to make sure that a person does not feel alone. It goes way beyond shidduchim. You could have a person who is married and established, again, who is surrounded by a kehila, who feels a very strong sense of aloneness, or like we could say by Moshe, lonely. And Yisro in his wisdom says, this is not good. What does Yisro say? Mil a tila af at af amahadein. You will become weary, also you and also the people. And it's very, very interesting. It's very, very interesting to consider that I noted before, it's a whole beautiful shir, but I'm going to share with you one interesting ha'ara or nakuda about Leah. Her name means weary or tired. Rachel means sheep, ewe, lamb. Leah had a sense of tiredness or weariness for a number of reasons. But one thing you see expressed in the names of her children is this idea that she feels a sense of being unloved by Yaakov, her husband. Reuven, Ra Hashem Ba'ani, she feels a sense of affliction and pain. Shama Hashem Kisnua Anochi, Ata Pam Yilave Ishi Eli. The names that she gives her children indicate a longing for her husband's love. God has seen my affliction. He has heard that I am hated. Maybe now that I have born a third son, my husband will actually accompany me. So with the first three sons, you have this tiredness that comes out in the expression, which is her name, that she feels alone, that she feels a sense of loneliness. Yes, she has these children, but what she is desiring, what she is lacking, is her husband's love. And when a person feels alone, it is one of the worst conditions of the human existence. Speaking about Rabbi Weinberger Shlita, so when we were in Los Angeles, not this past fall, I was there for something else. So the OU West Coast Convention, 2017. The OU West Coast Convention was November, December 2018. Rabbi Weinberger was, I believe he was the keynote speaker, the main speaker. So at a Shabbos Oneg, Friday night Oneg, we gave a very long speech. And one thing that he told over is so impactful. Rabbi Weinberger said, it's incredible. What is the definition of teshuva? What does teshuva mean? So you're all going to say, it doesn't sound like a very difficult question. Teshuva means? What is teshuva? You're all giving me varts. What does teshuva mean? Typically, yes, what does teshuva mean? Come on. It means repentance. So now you're trying to explain what repentance means. But if you go over to someone and you say that it's elo and the avodah is teshuva, it means generally repent. Now, it also means return. Anishava habaita. Okay? It also means lashev al kisei, to have a seat in the house of God. It means to return. It means to become closer. Rabbi Weinberger said something so deeply impactful about what teshuva means. He gave a mashal. He deals with a lot of difficult situations. And he gave a mashal. He said, a husband and a wife come into him. Let's call them Yitzchak and Rivka. Okay. Rivka's crying. She's crying. Yitzchak's looking anywhere but at his wife, trying not to check his phone, looking at the ceiling, looking at the floor. She's crying. Rabbi Weinberger says, I'm pushing the tissues. So he says, they sit down opposite his desk. So tell me, why are you here? So Yitzchak says, I don't know why I'm here. She told me we have to come. So he says, Rivka, why are you here? And she's crying and I'm pushing the tissues. She says, listen, Rabbi, I don't exactly know what's wrong. My husband wakes up in the morning. He goes to Minyan, takes out the garbage, he drives out of a carpool, he pays the bills, he goes to work, he comes home, we have supper, he goes to Marv and Ashir. We start all over again. She says, but there's a connection that's missing. Something is missing. We're going through the motions, but we're alone together. When I stood under the chuppah, Mountain Torah is a marriage. Kafei leim har kigigi, Shabbos peches aleph. The mountain was the chuppah. I'm relating Rabbi Weinberger's word to Matan Torah. The mountain was the chuppah. Kosh Baruch Hu was the chasan. Last Rashi, Perek Lamed Aleph and Shemos, Vayhi Kechalos Moshe, on the day that Moshe finished putting up the Mishkan, also, it was like Kechalos is like the word Kala, last Rashi to Perek Lamed Aleph. Us and the Ribbono Shel Olam are in a marriage. The mountain was held over us. It's the chuppah. Hashem was the chasan. Knesset Yisrael was the kala. And the Torah is the ksuba, the shtar of the marriage. And we're in a marriage with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's this week's parasha. It's Yisrael. What is a marriage? Like Yitzchak and Rivka, she says, I don't know what's wrong. We're just going through the motions. That something is missing. When I stood under the chuppah, I signed up for much more than this. And he says to Yitzchak, so what do you have to say? He says, Rabbi, I do everything she wants me to do. I don't know why I'm here. It's sad. It's not funny. It's sad. Sometimes two people could be living together and they're alone. What's missing, he said, was the connection between the husband and the wife. You're all going through the motions, but you're not together. There's no v'hayu l'basar echad. No one's paying attention to what the other person talks about, to what the other person wants, needs, desires. A person feels metaphysically totally alone. So going back to what Rabbi Weinberger said, what is teshuvah? He says, you can never leave Hashem. You can't return. It's the best definition of teshuvah I ever heard in my life. It was worth going to LA to hear this. Teshuvah does not mean return. You can never separate from God. Pasuk tells us in Iyov that the neshama is a chelek Elokai mima'al. I am part of God. My neshama is, whatever that exactly means, divine. It's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I can't separate. A baby in utero, a healthy, developing baby in utero, can't separate from its mother. It's attached by its umbilical cord. You can't separate from God. You never left God. You can't leave something you're tethered to. It's not possible. So Rabbi Weinberger said, what does teshuva mean? Quote, turn your head around and pay attention. You could go through all the motions of being a Jew. You could wash until Tilas Yadayim. You could say, Moda Ani. a wash knege vaser, you could get dressed, you could say brachos, you could daven, you could, I don't know, have shmura matzah, you could eat the proper shir and the right zman, you could go to shul, you could light your Shabbos candles, you could keep Taras HaMishpacha, and you're never paying attention to the Ribono Shel Olam. You're never paying attention to what you're doing. You think there aren't, unfortunately, you think it's not possible to live like this? It's very possible. You live a life of social Judaism, because that's how I grew up, that's what everyone expects of me, that's how I've always lived my life. What would people say? How will my children get married? But you never think of the Ribono Shel Olam. He's not even in your mind. Why are you doing this? Who are you living for? Rabbi Weinberger said, teshuva means turn your head around and pay attention. Of course you're still connected to God. You can't return to him because you never left him. It's not possible to leave God. But you're not paying any attention to the Ribono Shel Olam in your life. I want to share a vart, but I only have b'sha'achis or mishpatim, and I need both. Does anyone have a chumash? Where's that lady who always has her chumash? She's not here today. Of course. Okay, I'll just tell you. It's okay. Oh, you have a full shmos? Awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I never shared this vart anywhere. Oh, you needed to take your notes, but I'll give it back to you in a minute. Tiskul mitzvos. So I have not yet had the opportunity to share this vart, so I'm going to share it now. It's beautiful. If Hashem could just help me find it. Here we go. What a vart. It's in Perek Tes, Parshas Va'era. I said Bo, it's Va'era. Okay, it's in Perek Tes. I've never shared this anywhere. I've been waiting for the right opportunity. So this is the right opportunity. My brother shared this with me. Okay, by the Makos, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yudches. Hineni mam tirka eis machar barad kaved ma'od. Behold, I will rain down at this time tomorrow, barad, very heavy hail. Asher lo haya chamo b'mitzrayim lemin hayam, hivasta arata. It was never borrowed like this from the day Mitzrayim was founded, Yisod. Hivasta v'arata until now. V'ata shalacha is, send forth, gather in eskmichnecha, your flocks, everything that you have in the field, all man, all animal that is in the field, they must be gathered into the house. If they're left in the field, the barad will fall on them, they will die. Okay? So there was a warning. It's like the Israeli army, Lahavdo, they drop leaflets in Gaza telling the terrorists, we're going to bomb you. If you want to save people, get out of the house. Okay. Hayare es devar Hashem me'avde paro. Those who were Yirei Shamayim, who feared the word of God from the servants of Pharaoh, Hegnis es avadav es mikneu elabatim. They took, they chased, actually, their servants and their flocks into their houses. Those who were Yare es devar Hashem, who feared the word of God. I'm in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf through Chaf Aleph. Those who feared the word of God from the servants of Pharaoh chased their servants and their flocks into the house. V'asher lo sam libo el devar Hashem. What a geshmak var. Get ready. This is tremendous. My brother shared this with me. V'asher lo sam libo el devar Hashem. Those who did not place their heart to the word of God, meaning who did not pay attention. V'ya'azov es avadav es v'knei basada. They left their servants and their flocks in the field. They didn't believe it was going to happen. They were in Yirei Shamayim. So those animals and people that are in the field are going to die. Listen to these two psukim. Hayare es devar Hashem me'avdei paro. It's loud. Okay. Listen to these two psukim. Hayare es devar Hashem me avdei paro, heinis es avadav. Those who feared the word of God chased their possessions and their people inside. Va'asher lo sam libo el devar Hashem, but they who did not place their heart, which we would translate as pay attention, did not chase their animals and their people inside. The opposite of Yirei Shamayim is not Yirei Shamayim. These two psukim don't seem to make any sense. One tells you how yare es devar Hashem heinis es avadavus miknei habaisa, and one tells you velo sam libo el devar Hashem. It's still open to you. Vasher lo sam libo el devar Hashem, and he who did not place his heart, i.e., pay attention. So my brother said he was quoting. I forget who. What's the opposite of yirei shamayim? Not paying attention to God. You might think the opposite of yirei shamayim is not being a yirei shamayim. No. The opposite of not being a yirei dvar Hashem, the opposite of not being God-fearing, is simply being oblivious to God in your life. You'll go through all commotions. You can put your hand over your eyes when you say Shema, and you're thinking about anything except Kabbalah's Omar Chushamayim. What a var. The opposite of being a Yirei Shemayim is not paying attention. Because if you're paying any bit of attention, you can't miss God. It can't be that if you are a thoughtful, heartful, Sam Libo, Jew, you can't miss God in your life. How could you miss him? I mean, how could you miss the signs that there is a God in your life? So therefore, the opposite of being not God-fearing, the opposite of being God-fearing, is being oblivious. What did Rabbi Weinberger say? Turn your head around. I think that this verse my brother shared with me a couple weeks ago relates exactly to what Rabbi Weinberger says. What does this all have to do with Lo Tov Heos Adam Avado? Everything we learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We say every day that he is the Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael. You say that every morning. You're not allowed to come to Shir and learn Torah if you don't make Berachas HaTorah. He's the Nosein HaTorah La'asok B'divrei Sorah. He's the Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael. He teaches us everything. Kabrin Gemara is proving that everything we do is based on what Hashem does. So what does Hashem want from us? To pay attention to people in our lives. It's not enough to go through life going through all the motions. Pay real attention. You know, sometimes you see someone in the supermarket and you say to each other, how are you? What does that even mean? Why? Before it doesn't mean anything. You're not really asking how they are. Before anyone even answers, it would be better or more appropriate to say, hello, nice to see you. Hi, have a wonderful day. Unless you're really asking, how are you? And you stop to wait for the answer. Why do we even ask that question? I am oblivious to that person's day, existence, problems. Hashem appeared to Moshe in a snare, dafka in a thorn bush. Because like Rashi says right there, when the Jews are suffering, the Ribbono Shel Olam, kaviyach, not kaviyach, the Ribbono Shel Olam is also suffering. Imo anochi b'tzara. He is with us in our pain. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always paying attention to us. He doesn't have a hesei chadas. Eretz asher Hashem elokecha doresh osa. Tamid einei Hashem elokecha ba. Tamid einei Hashem elokecha ba. Mireishis Hashanah ad achushanah. He's always paying attention. His eyes are always focused on his land and on his people. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we paying attention? Or are we going through life? Lo sam libo al davar Hashem. And also not paying attention to the people around us. Why am I saying, how are you, to the person in the supermarket, if I'm not stopping to listen to how they are? We have a chiyuv to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. When someone's sitting alone at the entrance to their tent, in the heat of the day, God took out of his time, so to speak. Hashem has a lot of important things to do. A lot. He's running a whole world. Billions of creations. He's running nature. He's providing for everyone. He's giving us life. And there's one man sitting at the entrance to the tent. And Hashem says, look at this. He's all alone. Levaker esachola. First Rashi quoting Sota Yodalit. And in fact, I don't remember where I read it. It doesn't begin, it's Perek Yudches Pasuk Aleph. The parasha does not begin with Vayera Hashem al Avram, he's at now Avram, he just says Bismillah and Perek Zayin. Doesn't say Vayera Hashem al Avraham, vuhu yoshe pesach o kechomayam. It says Vayera elav Hashem. Alone imamre, yoshe pesach o kechomayam. If you opened up that pasuk, Okay, you didn't know Perek Yud Zayin, Avram just did Bris Milah. You just, someone showed you that pasuk, and you have no knowledge of Chumash. You understand Hebrew, you're from Israel, I'm not making a joke. You understand Ivrit, and you know what it means, but you have no knowledge of any contextual cues. Pretend. Vayera Elav Hashem. Who does God appear to? Someone. Do you know? You don't know. Remember, you don't know the story. I know you all know the story. You don't know the story. You never learned Chumash. You know nothing except, and God appeared to him. It's the heat of the day. He's sitting to the entrance of the tent. And I'm not making this up. I don't remember, unfortunately, which of the Mefarshim quote this. Why does it not use the proper noun, God appeared to Avraham in the heat of the day, because it's 3 days post Bris Milah and he's very weary and he's tired and he doesn't feel, and it's the harshest day. Because God could appear, he's teaching us, any person who is sitting, this is not my var, I don't remember who brings it down, it's not mine. Hashem is teaching us that when it comes to chesed, when it comes to making sure someone is not alone, doesn't have to be an Avraham Avinu. You're not going because it's the Gadol Dor. The Gadol Dor probably has enough people taking care of him. Not that you shouldn't chas shalom dam for him, but the Hamon Am, the regular Joe Schmo, the Mr. Anonymous. That pasuk is totally anonymous. You don't know who God appeared to. Because when someone is in pain, when someone is afflicted, when someone is alone in the heat of the day, you don't have to say, you have good yichus? Who are you? Are you my best friend? And God appeared to him. Find that person who's alone. There are people in our community who are literally alone, and there are people in our community who are metaphysically alone. Physically, like Adam alone, and metaphysically, like Moshe, experiencing a condition of loneliness. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael, he's so busy upholding an entire world. But there's one anonymous person, I will take my time to go to him. Yes?
I just wanted to share a relevant story, if you have a minute.
So let me finish the material, please. Okay? Thank you, because I just want to make sure that I get through this year, please. Perek Yud Tes. We have as Perek Yud Ches. Perek Yud Tes famously tells us, V'chodesh HaShlishi, Latzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim, V'yom Hazeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai. In the third month, so the man falls in Iyar, Perek Tazayin, Nisan is Yitzias Mitzrayim, Iyar is the man falls for the first time, Sivan is Matan Torah, V'chodesh HaShlishi, the Torah counts from Nisan, Iyar, so Shlishi is Sivan. Great. From when the children of Israel left Egypt on that day, Rashi says it was Rosh Chodesh, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, they camped by Rafidim, and I think that this is perhaps one of the more famous Rashis in Kol HaTorah Kulo, but I went to Rav Shai Shech to say, he said, famous Ramban. And then he said, all the Rambans are equally famous. It's not that anyone is more famous. We make them famous. So I think we have made this Rashi very, very famous. Vayisu Mirafidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai. They traveled from Rafidim. They came to the wilderness of Sinai. Vayachanu Bamidbar. They camped. 2.5 million people, approximately. Vayachanu Bamidbar. Ah, famous next words. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Negad Hahar. And Israel camped there opposite the mountain. Now, it just said, Vayachanu, they camped. And now it says, Vayichan, which literally translates as, and he camped. Vav is and, Yud is he, Chan, like from Machaneh. Neger Hahar. Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Allah Elohim, Moshe went up to God, and God called him from the mountain, Kosomer lebeis Yaakov, itagei lebeis Yisrael. So you should say, it's the introduction to Matan Torah. What is the first thing you have to know before we are zocha to get the Torah? So it's such a famous Rashi. Again, we have made it one of the most famous Rashis in Kol HaTorah Kulo. It was also made into a song. I think that could be why. Vayichan Sham Yisrael, ki ish, echad, lelev, you all know. Like one man with one heart. The rest of Rashi is not so famous. Aval sha'ar kol hachanios. However, all the other encampments, bitar umos uvemachlokas. All the other encampments were with strife and quarrel. You have the problems of Korach. You have Baaloscha, and the people are complaining against Moshe. You have Bilam. You have a Midianite woman. You have the people screaming, we're all going to die. We want to go back to Egypt. But here, they managed to reach the pinnacle of Achdus. So the famous word here is, of course, that because we had Achdus, we were zocher to Torah. The prelude to Torah's Achdus. But I think it relates very powerfully to the lesson from Perek Yurchas. Because we ensured that no man was alone, Vayichon Sham Yisrael, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad, we were one man with one heart. So Hashem said, Yasher Kochacham, Yasher Kochacham. I know, well, we're Zocha to know, very Chasha family from Eretz Yisrael, her uncle was Dr. Cook. Dr. Cook, Zichron Alevracha, was the brother of the chief rabbi, Rav Mitzchak Cohen Cook. Her maiden name is Cook. Her grandfather was Cook. She said, you know this famous story, and it's funny, because when she told me the story in the summer, I was simultaneously reading the Rav Aryeh Levine biography, and it's in that biography. And it mentions Dr. Nachum Cook, who the story happened to. So it's a very chashuv family, Miriam Kidron. It's her uncle. She says, that's my uncle. So Rav Aryeh Levine and his rabbitson went to, you probably know the story without knowing that's Rav Aryeh Levine and Dr. Nachum Cook, they went to the doctor. And it's mamash brought down in the biography, it's Tzadik in Jerusalem. They went to the doctor, and he said, our foot is hurting. And the doctor says, whose foot is hurting? And he says, our foot is hurting. He says, that story is my uncle. So it's like talking not a joke. It's a cute story. It's humus vinya. But it really reminds us of what it means. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Your heart is pumping the blood of every other Jew. Your tears cry not only for your own tzaras, but for the tzaras of somebody else. When you say, how are you, to the person in the supermarket, you really mean, how are you? Stop, I'm talking to myself. We practically don't have 30 seconds to give another Jew a listening ear. Mil'eh til'eh. You're going to become weary. Leah was called weary or tired because of her life experience. It's a really a whole beautiful shir. But even in the names that she gives her children, she is expressing is her longing, her loneliness for her husband. The prerequisite to Matan Torah is to know that no Jew will be left alone. Look, it says the Das Akenim, what happened to Yaakov Avinu on the river Yabok, because he was alone. And it's an echrais, it's something I have to ask myself. I have to ask myself, am I doing enough in my life to make sure that another Jew does not feel alone? Because if you want to accept the Torah, you have to know whose foot is hurting. It's interesting. What's the root word of machlokas? Ches lamed kuf, like chalak, but or chelak. When everybody gets their own piece of the pie. And there is division. When you all take a piece for yourself, instead of a total whole, obviously you have to cut up the pizza so everybody could get a piece, but it means chelak. When there is division in Knesset Yisrael, when we are divided from each other, so how could you say, Hashem, I'm a vessel for Torah? If you want to get Torah, Vayichan, and Henny Machas brings down such a beautiful var in her book on Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, she quotes the Varka Rebbe, I'm not sure who that is, please forgive me, but Hani Macha says, what's the pshat on Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar? The Varka Rebbe says, Vayichan is see the chain in your other Jew. Vav and Yod, he saw the chain. If you see the chain, I can't translate chain. The beauty, the preciousness, the charm, the grace. Ati Estrano says chain be'enei kol ra'el. If you see the chain in every other Jew, you will take a genuine interest and that person's life. You will be concerned for their well-being as you are concerned for your own well-being. Turn your head around and pay attention, because only two things are lo tov, alone and lonely. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is so busy, could go visit one anonymous person to make him feel a little bit better and not alone, then what excuse do I have to be so busy that I can't listen to the person when they say, how are you? And they actually start to answer.